All right, good morning, everyone. Calling to order the December 6, 2018 variance hearing. Hope you're all having a happy holiday season. Thanks for being patient with us as we got settled. As many of you know, we have one hearing the fourth Wednesday of each month, but November and December, we combine those into one hearing at the beginning of December. So again, thank you for your patience. My name is Corey Teague. I'm the zoning administrator. I'm joined by our executive secretary, Eva Atahera Taylor. I'm just going to go over some general information about the hearing today before we begin with the items. First, regarding the order of presentation, project sponsors and or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify the variance. An applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes of rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. And at the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items that are listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step up when the item is called. Otherwise, it will be granted. There are currently four items listed on the consent calendar today. Public comment is at the end of the hearing and shall be allowed for items that are not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes to speak at that time. Regarding the criteria required to justify a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no actual variance decision is final until a decision letter is issued. And considering current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. Regarding appeals, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that letter is issued. Private conversations, as you may know, can be very disruptive to a hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside the hearing room. And the next variance hearing is scheduled for January 23rd, 2019. Audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. So now we'll move on to today's calendar. First, a couple of items to address. Item number 8 for 2963 22nd Street will not be heard today. That project was revised such that a rear yard variance was no longer necessary and the application was withdrawn. Second, item number 11 for 526 to 530 Lombard Street, a discretionary review application was filed for that project, and that has been scheduled for March 7th, 2019. So we will continue the variance item to March 7th, 2019 to have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission as they consider the discretionary review request. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on the continuance of item number 11? Okay, then that item will be continued. Moving on to the consent calendar, there are four cases proposed for continuance. These include items number 1 through 4 for 890 El Camino Del Mar, 4388 23rd Street, 4097 to 4099 17th Street, and 3357 to 3359 26th Street. Items on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak to these items, please step forward now. Otherwise, these items will be granted. Would anyone here like to speak on any of the items that are proposed for consent, items 1 through 4? Okay, seeing none, we will conclude the consent calendar and begin with the regular calendar, starting with item number 5 for 651 Francisco Street and 28 Houston Street.
Item number 5, case number 2017-008596VAR, 651 Francisco Street and 28 Houston Street, lot with area, rear yard, and open space variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Teague. My name is Jeremy Schaub of Schaubly Architects. I'm here with Leland Wong, the owner of 651 Francisco and 28 Houston. This project has two facets. One is a lot line adjustment, and the second is a dwelling unit legalization. We're asking to add a total of 3 dwelling units, which would comply with the density limits, one of which requires a waiver. Also, the current property line bisects the existing building at 651 Francisco, and we're proposing to move it to create rear yards for both properties. Only minor physical changes are planned. The subject lots are located back-to-back on Francisco and Houston Street, just west of Columbus Avenue, in a block bound by Jones and Chestnut. The original parcel sizes date back to at least 1894. This is the 1915 Sanborn map. 651 Francisco measures approximately 52.5 feet deep by 19 feet wide, with a lot area of 1,026 square feet. Its frontage is 14.5 feet along Francisco and about 8 feet along Columbus Avenue. The building was constructed around 1911, and at that time exceeded the lot depth by 3 feet and 10 inches. This is the existing rear property line, and the building overhangs that. This building is legally a single-family dwelling over ground floor commercial space with that address as 1095 Columbus Avenue. A third-story addition was completed in 1977. It is zoned North Beach NCD. 28 Houston Street measures approximately 60 feet deep by 19.5 feet wide with a lot area of 1,170 square feet. The existing building was developed in 1976 with a portion of 651 Francisco encroaching into the rear yard. The official rear yard measures 25 feet 1, but the building separation is only 21 feet 3 inches. This parcel is zoned RM1. Originally built as a single family dwelling, it has been 3 units since 1977. The first goal of this project is a lot line adjustments. Both parcels have clouded titles, which prevents them from being truly independent lots. We propose to adjust the rear line approximately 15 feet 1 inch between the parcels. As you can see here, we've got the existing site plan and proposed site plan with a new line moved 15 feet 1 inch. 651 Francisco would measure 67 feet 7 inches deep with an area of approximately 1,321 square feet, and 28 Houston would measure 44 feet 11 inches deep with an area of approximately 876 square feet. Both parcels would then have equal rear yards of approximately 10 feet. Currently, some existing decks and stairs are located in the rear yard, which would be reduced or removed to comply with building code regulations. So here's the existing section through the site. The blue hatch area is where we're asking to move the lot line. You can see there are some existing decks and stairs, which would be modified so that they no longer cross the new property line boundary. The second facet is the legalization of dwelling units constructed without a permit. Both buildings are officially single family, although they have been multiple units for many years. This conversion is permitted under current density, but some construction would be required to provide fire separation between the units, as well as a full sprinklering of 28 Houston. So the requested variances are for the existing substandard width of the lot and existing substandard area of both lots, which would also be modified to still be non-conforming. The existing rear yards are not compliant. This adjustment would still make them non-compliant. However, they would at least have both rear yards on the parcels. And the last variance we're asking for is open space. With the dwelling unit legalization, we are able to have waivers for two of the three units, but one unit does require a waiver for the lack of open space. So the findings, extraordinary circumstance is that the existing property line cuts through a building, which dates back to original construction 1932. The literal enforcement of the code would have many practical difficulties. The existing parcels would need to be widened or enlarged, or the existing housing would need to be reduced. Both existing buildings have clouded titles due to large encroachment. This prevents the parcels from being sold separately, which is a substantial property right. The project would not have any negative effect on public welfare, as the only physical change is a reduction in exterior stairs. And the project is consistent with the intent of the planning code to allow for as many dwelling units as we can. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close public comment. I don't have any questions. Yeah, I think there's clearly some exceptional, extraordinary circumstances here regarding the size and dimensions and layout of the current lots. Regularizing the lot line makes a lot of sense. So all the aspects of the variance related to that, I think, are very straightforward and fairly easy to support. As you mentioned, there are units being legalized, which are not technically part of the variance. There's just the one additional unit. As you mentioned, it's within the permitted density for the districts. These two lots are within. And this is a pretty interesting little block with a fairly small mid-block open space. You know, we'd like to get as much open space as we can for each unit, but I think there's a lot here to support these variants. So I would be inclined to grant the variance.
Thank you.
Moving to item number six, case number 2017-003243-VAR, 1521 Masonic Avenue, rear yard and parking variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Brent Hatcher, 07 Studios.
Speak into the mic, please. Yeah,
sorry. Brent Hatcher, and I'm here to represent Peter Coopersmith, the owner of the home. So, 1521 Masonic is a single-family home at the corner of Piedmont and Masonic, and the owners have lived there for almost 50 years, and they are asking the city for variance so that they can put a deck at the second level at the rear of their home. The existing deck there, it's hard to see here, is... You can actually see it better in this photo. The existing deck they have that goes down to the rear yard is on the property line. It's a wood structure that abuts another wood deck. So we are asking to remove that, and we're asking to construct a new deck and spiral stair that is 3 feet off the property line on the shared property line. We would be holding the deck off the property line that abuts the street by 3 feet, 3 inches. Existing on the parcel is a gate that leads to the rear yard, which the owner has at times used for parking. There is a curb cut that allows entry into this rear yard parking space. We think neither the curb cut has not been legalized as far as we know, and then the rear yard parking space is not currently allowed in planning code, so we are asking for a variance to keep that parking space as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Great. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Do you know, was there ever an existing garage structure in the rear?
Not according to any Sanborn maps that we found, no. Okay. When we first started this project, we spoke with Heidi at the planning information counter. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, of course, alerted us to the fact that this rear yard parking space would be an issue. She also said that there may be a resolution with that, with the zoning administrator, or if we were to build a parking structure that is enclosed and adjacent or connected to the main structure. So.
All right. For many of the reasons that were laid out in the application, the findings, I'm generally supportive of the variance. As you mentioned, it's unclear if the curb cut itself was ever...
I'm sorry, say that again?
It's unclear if the curb cut itself was ever legal, so...
It is unclear, yes. I have been able to find no application for it in Public Works.
So any project that would move forward to legalize the curb cut and the parking space would also need to get the appropriate permits from Public Works for the curb cut as well. But I'm inclined to grant the variance.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2018-006584-VAR, 3730 Folsom Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
The letter of support and the declaration of posting.
Posting.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Sven Levine, and I'm the architect and also the owner of the property. And I've lived in the home for 18 years, and we have an existing deck, which you can see here. And I think that the deck is been there for at least 30 years, but we can't find any permit history for the deck, so no way to show that it's legal. And what we're seeking to do is to legalize the deck, infill underneath, and slightly enlarge the area below the deck. So that's our proposal. So basically the current deck extends 10 feet into the rear yard. We'd be extending 14 foot 8 into the rear yard. And the addition would be extending to both edges of the property line. And we'd set our guardrail in by 3 feet, which is an increase of 1 foot over the current guardrail. And as far as the hardship, I think sort of in simple terms, there's really sort of no way to use the existing rear yard in a way that doesn't make it extremely disjointed. This was sort of a study I did that would show a stairway that would sort of within the planning code to try and access the rear yard, and it kind of renders this lower section unusable, and you have to sort of go down to go up to the upper section. And so the variance is really just partially trying to legalize the deck, but also trying to create some usable space that's accessed by the living spaces in the dwelling unit. That's it.
Thank you. Is anyone here to speak on this item? Everyone is very quiet today. I just want to go home. Okay, I will close the public hearing. Excuse me, sir, would you mind putting the rendering back up on the screen? Okay, and so as proposed, as you said, you pulled the rails off. It's an open railing. So there's no additional firewall above what would be permitted as a 10-foot rear yard fence, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, as you mentioned, there are usability issues here. It's an upsloping lot. It's a fairly minor intrusion, and it's designed in a way that will be sensitive to the context. I would generally be inclined to grant the variance.
Thank you.
Moving to item number eight, which is case number 2018-001541 VAR 2963 22nd Street, has been pulled out and the variance has been withdrawn. Moving to item number nine, case number 2017-014412 VAR 176 Jordan Avenue, side yard and parking variances sought. Project sponsor?
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Douglas Fong. I'm architect for the project, the Chong residence. Mr. and Mrs. Chong are here in case you have questions for them. This project is a relatively simple request to add a great room to a existing single-family residence in an RH1D district. The structure is a very good example of Georgian residential architecture, but it doesn't have a great room. It's a modern program requirement that we're seeing people want, which is to add a room to the back of the house that allows people to gather and combines a kitchen with a family room so that people can enjoy eating and preparing meals together and watching the ball game on big screen television. The design extends the project or the structure into the rear yard, but does not cross the required rear yard setback line. There is an existing detached carriage house or garage in the rear yard, and in order to open up the rear yard space, once our rear yard addition is added, it is proposed to us to remove the structure but maintain the parking space. The variances are required because in the early 1900s, when the Jordan Park neighborhood was developed, the developer had a very imaginative solution to being able to provide space for carriages to enter into the rear yard without reducing the width of the properties by moving all the properties or the buildings on the properties to the north property line and establishing a double wide setback on the south property line. And you can see through the Sanborn map that this is a condition that is prevalent through the block and actually for the six or seven blocks which make up the Jordan Park neighborhood. The variance is required in order to extend our rear yard addition to the full width of the building, which given the imposition of new planning requirements, which require setbacks on both sides of the property, would make the addition on the south side of the on the north side of the building within the required side yard setback. The parking variance that we're requesting is due to a decision that has been made that since the structure around the existing carriage house is being removed, that is a relinquishment of the existing non-compliant condition of having an off-street parking space in the rear yard. Our proposal is to keep the parking space in its current location, but remove the structure in order to open up the space and the light and air to the rear yard and also the surrounding mid-block space. That, I think, is the conclusion of my presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Do have some questions about the parking specifically. So right now, it's a pretty narrow drive to get back there. I think, on plan, if you look at just from building wall to property line, it's maybe just shy of 7 feet. There may be a little bit of space on the adjoining property that is available to kind of for some wiggle room, perhaps. It's not entirely clear. But right now, if for someone to access the rear garage, they drive through this narrow side drive, park in the garage. Do you know, it seems like there is room in that garage there and the rear yard now to kind of back out at a 90-degree angle and then go straight out the drive to pull out of the property. Is that how that is done currently? Because I assume people would not want to, as a long, narrow stretch, to back your vehicle all the way out.
I think currently the way in which the garage is used is that vehicles back out the entire length of the building, the entire length of the site.
Really?
Yes. It's a condition which is prevalent on the block. I think the side yard setback condition is very consistent through all the properties on all the parcels on the block.
Okay. It's interesting because the reason I was asking about the backing is because as the rear yard exists now, it seems like there is space to back out at 90 degree and go out kind of front first. But with the proposed addition, that maneuverability seems to be lost. So it seems like the only option at this point, as proposed, to be able to back out this entire stretch, which is, like I said, I mean, and I know it can be done. It seems not a pleasant experience, especially not if it was almost daily. And so I just wanted to be clear about what the intention was there for how that space would be used. This one is interesting because, there's a pattern of garages and therefore people parking in the rear yard there. The loss of the garage structure is, the loss of the structure, but maintaining the parking. I just want to be more confident that this space would actually be used for parking, if that's what is really being requested. Because I see that we're adding also kind of a curve component. Not a curve, but there's going to be overhang with the bay as well. So it's a little bit interesting. It's not common for us to get that length of drive for parking in the rear yard. Regarding the side yard variance, I want to take that under consideration a little further as well. Generally speaking, minor encroachments into a side yard at the rear to help with interior layout and planning is not a major issue, especially if it's designed and contextually. In this situation, we're looking at 20 feet total building and deck area. So it's not really insignificant, and there's not a lot of other aspects to the property that provide a lot of exceptional and extraordinary circumstances. It's kind of an oversized lot, single family home. So I do want to investigate the block pattern a little bit further specific to that. So overall, I'm going to take this variance under advisement.
Yes. I would ask you to do pay special attention to the existing construction and development of the block. Mm-hmm. I think that our request for side yard extension would be considered to be prevalent on the block and has been done many times in the past.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2018-001186 VAR 333 O'Farrell Street, awning requirement variance sought.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Administrator.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Our proposal here and the variance application is to allow for a new awning, which would cover the entrance to the Hilton Hotel. There's one of the larger hotels in the city, 1,900 people that are there. And the existing awning that is there currently projects about 11 feet beyond the face of the building. What we are proposing to do is to design an awning to replace this that is within that same envelope and continue to provide protection and weather protection to guests arriving and also pedestrians on the sidewalk. As you can see, one of the things that we had looked at in terms of inspiration for design and so forth, looked around the city, looked at the bridge with the lights and so forth, and what we've come up with conceptually is an awning, again, that is within the envelope of the current awning, but we're also proposing to raise this. One of the challenges that Hilton has been facing specifically has been some damage that occurs relatively often that requires repairs. So that obstructs the sidewalk when that repair work is being done. We're also, by raising this, by changing the materials, we're trying to lighten the sidewalk, increase the public experience, and improve upon that from what is currently there now. You can see that this overhang is, sorry for the light there, it's a little bit dark. So again, we are trying to improve upon that public experience by that. What we have done is, again, by staying within that envelope, we're basically covering the bulb out that is the drop-off area for all the guests. And so that existing awning provides protection for those guests that are arriving, and then the new awning proposed would do the same. So we think that this is going to improve upon the public experience, certainly improve upon the guest arrival. This awning is the original awning that was built in the early 1980s. So in addition to the repairs, it's time for an upgrade. This entrance is quite large, and so it deserves something large, similar to what is there now. And we think that the variance would, again, allow us to improve upon that experience and allow us to continue to provide public with proper weather protection and so forth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public here who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. So, I mean, I think you're correct that what's there is not ideal. It definitely could be improved. I think what's proposed does represent a certain level of improvement. You know, as you're aware, you know, the design reviewers in the department still have some concerns that feel like aren't completely been addressed relative to just the overall size of it, the amount of space it occupies, and the potential to have it be broken up a little bit, at least from a design perspective, because as you said, this is a fairly large area, and while it does serve you know, a specific function for the hotel, it is also a public sidewalk area for pedestrians who are passing through as well. So I share those concerns, and I think there's still a little bit of work to be done. So while I'm generally supportive of making these upgrades to what's there now, and while I feel like what's being proposed is not super far off, I think there's still a little bit of work that could be done, and we should still continue to work together on that. And so I will take this variance under advisement.
Okay. Well, and if I may, too, one of the issues, I believe some of the comment were about breaking that up and perhaps spanning between columns. Those columns are almost 4 feet wide, and I think breaking that up would again, take us back a step from where we are now in terms of providing protection for the guests arriving. It is, again, quite a large area, and I think having those breaks in that would not benefit that arrival experience as much.
And that may be the case. That specific scenario may not be the appropriate solution, but we will continue to work with your team and our design folks to see what we can come up with. Thank you very much.
Skipping item number 11, which is will be heard on March 7, 2019, with the commission. Item number 12 now, case number 2018-008004-VAR, 645 Cap Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Hello. My name is Shelley. I'm here to present 645 Cap Street. There's a photo of block 3615.
Please speak to the mic because we're being recorded.
Okay.
So thank you.
Here's an aerial photo of a block 3615. The yellow area is highlighting the flag lot where the existing single family residence is located. The red dots are identifying the adjacent neighbors. On the west side there are four multi-unit buildings. And on the east side is a large, very large parcel, which is occupied by St. Mary's Church. You can see this is a very interesting block that is occupied by a number of different building types. There's a number of churches, multi-unit buildings, as well as single-family residences, but we're the only flag lot. Not only do we have the flag lot to contend with this project, but we also have the fact that this is a historic property. It's been determined to be a Class A. So taking, you know, protecting the building and taking into consideration its view from the public right-of-way is something that we've been conscious of and talking to the planning department about the whole length of the project. We did a project review meeting back last year. So the two arrows are the two points at which the building from the public right-of-way is visible. On the west side, that's the little tiny sliver of the entry stair you see 80 feet away from the sidewalk through the two and three quarter foot wide entrance path of the handle of the flag lot. And then the red arrow on the right side is the view that you can see of the rear facade of the house from South Venice. I'll show you photos of those. So this is what you see from the sidewalk on Cap Street. You can see the house, just a little tiny sliver of the front entry stair there down the path. And then, you know, from across the street, you just see that little opening between the two multi-unit buildings. From South Venice, this is what you would see if you're a pedestrian on South Venice on the west side. You see the back and north, the northeast corner of the rear facade. And then this is an image from Google, so their camera's a little taller than me. But that's what you would see if you're in the center of South Venice. It's a very unusual parcel, as you can see in these photos. It's really surrounded by much larger buildings and located in the middle of the block, literally. So you have St. Mary's Church here, which has a long, a solid CMU wall on their west facade. And then it continues as a fence or a wall between their large parking area up the rear side of Cap Street, of 645 Cap Street, and then turns in 90 degrees and continues up, walling off the rest of their parking from, you know, the neighbors on the north. They also, St. Mary's Church, owns this large section behind the church, which it has a number of small structures in. And then, Cap Street, they actually, their front facade is on their front property line. So they have an easement to actually get into their fence and to their front stair. This is just another view from the east where you can see that CMU wall, the church parking lot, and how 645 Cap Street is walled in by these taller buildings. All of their open space is available on the south yard. It doesn't comply to the normal rear yard layout of that we usually have. Am I going too slow? Is that a minute?
No, you still have 25 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. This is a view of their rear yard, and where we're proposing the 300 square foot addition would be up against this solid rear wall and the fence here in the southeast corner of their yard. So this just views of the neighbors to the west. And then this is the last,
It's fine, you can
go ahead. Finish up.
These are just diagrams showing, you know, this is the typical area that the zoning or the planning code would ideally provide them, which would be 45% setback in the rear yard, which would give them 861 square feet of open space. This is what they have. They have just under that 767 square feet on the south. This is how a reduction of the requirements to 15 feet would play out. That would give them 675 square feet. And what we're asking for is actually to use the south yard, maintaining the ground floor south yard open space area off the first floor, which would be 685 84 square feet at the first floor, plus additional open space, because the top of this little 300 square foot addition would be 9 feet above grade. And it would provide an additional 287 square feet off the second floor. So this is where the addition would be located. So up against the solid concrete wall of St. Mary's Church. And this is how it would look from the south elevation. So this is the existing house, and it would just be located here in this corner. And if you were to add the fence in to this elevation, this is really all you would see.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public here who would like to speak to this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will close public hearing. Good job. I think you did a good job of laying out all the various ways. This is kind of an unusual site, an unusual block, an unusual context. You know, the property itself is unique in its, you know, flag lot context. There's no kind of standard mid-block open space here relative to combined rear yards and collective open space. Obviously, having the church, not only the church structure, but the parking lot, just their entire presence there adjacent to this property is a fairly unique context. What's being proposed is a fairly modest one-bedroom addition. I think the addition of the roof deck is actually good to provide some additional open space to the unit, and that's designed in a way that's contextual and it's not really going to have any negative impact on any neighboring property. So I'm supportive, and I'm inclined to grant the variance. Thank you.
Moving to the last item, item number 13, case number 2018-003679-VAR, 969 Treat Avenue, ground floor, ceiling height, variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes. Please speak to the mic. Thank you.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Teague. My name is Christina Maloenda Marshall, and I'm the Director of Mission Kids. Mission Kids provides quality, affordable childcare to low and moderate income families of the Mission District in San Francisco. We are an established program and have been providing service in the neighborhood for 10 years. We currently operate out of a leased space and are being displaced from our existing facility. We have been working in partnership with the City's Office of Early Care and Education and the Low Income Investment Fund to develop a permanent home for our program. And we are excited to have found this permanent home at 969 Treat. We are planning to be in this space for the long term, and the city funding for this project requires that we provide service at this location for at least the next 30 years. This new facility will allow us to double our enrollment and our service to the community. Our program is fluid by design so that children can build the deepest possible connection to the outdoors. Children are allowed to move freely throughout the space, throughout the day, indoors and out. We respectfully request that the ceiling height variance be approved so that children can access the various outdoor activity areas available on each level. I hope you've had the chance to review our 12 letters of support from neighbors, 2 letters of support from community groups MEDA and Calle 24, and a letter of support from the Office of Early Care and Education. Julie Jackson, our architect for the project, will describe the proposal in further detail.
Hello, good morning. Child care is a permitted use. This 969 Treat is in a UMU zoning designation. However, there's a 17-foot ground height floor standard requirement that we're requesting this variance for several reasons. One, it's not necessary or desirable for a preschool to have a 17-foot floor-to-floor ground height for several reasons. It will add additional costs to construct this. This, as Christina mentioned, is a project that is funded by the city and a lot of grants on individual donors. Constructing this additional space will be costly for the preschool and will also operationally be wasteful to have to heat and cool this additional volume, which is not compatible really with San Francisco's green building and sustainability goals. The added height will create difficulty. The preschool is the site plan is up on the screen. We do have a very unusual site. We have a 7'6" wide connection to the sidewalk at Treat Avenue. It's a largely triangular site. The program is for 4 preschool classrooms and 2 infant toddler classrooms. We have on the ground floor, on the ground floor plan on the left, we have 2 preschool classrooms on the ground floor and 2 infant toddler classrooms, administrative and support areas and a play area as required by licensing. On the second floor, we have 2 additional preschool classrooms and some rooftop play areas. The program for the preschool has a strong indoor-outdoor connection and a philosophy of free flow for the children throughout the day. So children whose classrooms are on the second floor will be going to the outdoor play areas on the ground level, and children whose classrooms are on the first floor will often be accessing special kind of outdoor programming that's on the rooftop play areas. the unique configuration of this site requires that we have a 2-story facility in order to accommodate the program. So again, having children have to go up 17 feet, young children from the ages of 3 and up, who, you know, in younger even, to have to traverse essentially 2 stories to get to those rooftop play areas or to get down to the outdoor play area would be very difficult for them. So this is in largely a residential area. There are, it's very mixed, the kind of context. There, to the north of the site are largely 2-story single family homes and I think duplexes. To the right, there is a single-story warehouse building. Behind the site, there's it's multi-family housing, 3 or 4 stories. So it's a very mixed context. We feel like scaling this building appropriately, not only for the children, but in the neighborhood context, that granting the 17-foot height, a waiver for the 17-foot height floor to floor would be well within the context of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. And maybe, finally, is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? Oh, I thought we might have people speaking. Oh, okay. Seeing none, that's a full sweep. I don't think we had a single bit.
Unprecedented hearing, yes.
Okay, wow. Well, I regrettably closed the public hearing on this item, or public comment on this item. No public comment today. This is a really interesting project. I have an 8-year-old, so I did childcare and preschool for many years. Paid for it all that time. I loved it, though. Went to 2 great places. I understand the challenge that it is. There's clearly the lot itself is funky, right? There's some exceptional and extraordinary circumstances related just to the shape, the size, the teeny tiny frontage actually on Treat. That could definitely make it challenging to actually develop for other uses. So I think it's actually really great that we can find some of these kind of misfit lots and put them to really needed uses. So that's really a positive. As you mentioned, childcare is a principally permitted use here. So the use itself is not an issue, except that finding one requires an exceptional and extraordinary circumstance to the property or to the intended use. And I think you did a good job of laying out how specifically the ground floor ceiling height issue does have an impact on this specific use, especially a use that has such low margins. You don't want to heat space you don't need. Not that we heat that much here, but we do some. So I think that's pretty clear that you meet all of those requirements, and so I'm definitely supportive of the variance and intend to grant.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's the last item now, Mr.
Zier. All right, so this would be great. Is there anyone here for general public comment for something that's not on the agenda today? No?
We're just all
out of luck? Okay. All right, well, then this meeting is adjourned. I have to talk.